welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
Welcome, my perfect and holy children of God, to the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast, the premiere episode. My name is Big Bad Boris. Let me explain a little bit about what this is hopefully going to be. I was approached by Mike Maloney. Is it Maloney? Melawani? I call him Melawani. And then I heard it was Maloney, and then I felt bad for calling him Melawani. So I don't know. But I was approached by Mr. Maloney about doing a podcast for Backbreaker Media. And I've thought about doing something for a while, you know, wrestling related, but also maybe combining my other love, which is music. So I thought, why don't I do a podcast where I kind of shoot the shit and talk about what's going on in the wrestling world, but also, you know, play some of my favorite music. I'm a big punk rock fan, love the punk rock. So maybe combine what's going on in the wrestling business and play some new music and maybe some of my old favorites in the punk rock scene. And that's kind of what this is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be weekly. I don't know if it's going to be a solid hour. It's just going to kind of morph into what it's going to be. So I want to thank Backbreaker Media and Mr. Maloney for giving me this opportunity to do this. And I hope that it's successful and hope that you guys like it. I'm thinking it's going to be probably most of the time it's just going to be me, but I might bring on some folks, some friends of mine who are music fans, wrestling fans, and kind of talk about musical tastes as well as wrestling tastes and that kind of thing, and we'll see where it goes. Now, on to business. I want to talk about, I was thinking about the Jericho bump from the AEW Blood and Guts. It's quite the topic of conversation. Everybody's been talking about it. Pardon me, I'm enjoying some Pabst Blue Ribbon. I want them to be a sponsor. If you know anybody who works for Pabst Blue Ribbon, have them contact me. I want to be the official podcast of Pabst Blue Ribbon. But anyway, everybody's talking about the Jericho bump, and there's a fine line, obviously, between doing something safe and doing something that looks good. And the two are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Do I think that the fall from the top of... I love the idea of that as the finish of the match, by the way, of MJF threatening to throw him off and having Sammy Guevara, you know, say that he quits and that they concede the match. I think that was a great idea for the finish. And I love the idea of MJF throwing him off anyway, because that's just something that MJF would do. The spot, the fall itself, I don't think it looked as bad as everyone says it looked. It didn't look great. It did look like kind of falling on a crash pad and, you know, over some signage or what have you. But you don't want anybody to do anything that's going to get them hurt. And I know in the wrestling business right now, we're kind of pushing boundaries and everything has to be bigger than the last. And, you know, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. And it kind of made me think a little bit about the exploding barbed wire match they had a few weeks ago. If you've been looking at wrestling news recently, the grandfather, the godfather of the exploding ring death match, Atsushi Onida has decided in Japan he's going to start an exploding ring promotion in Japan. I think I read it's going to be under the FMW banner. Don't quote me on that because I might be wrong. And I thought about that match, and I thought about the finish of that match, and that kind of went over like a fart in church. And it's funny because that's not the first time that that's happened. And as soon as I hear, you know, there's going to be an exploding ring death match, I almost assume that it's going to go that way. I believe XPW did one that kind of had that same kind of finish. And the most famous one that I could think of was the main event of that IWA Kawasaki Dream King of the Deathmatch tournament, that big famous tournament that WWF showed clips of when they were kind of, you know, getting more into Mick Foley as a person away from the Mankind character and kind of exploring the whole three faces of Foley thing. Because the main event of that tournament was Funk and Mick Foley in the Exploding Ring Deathmatch. And the finish of that match had kind of the same sort of explosions, for lack of a better term, that they had in AEW, and Foley and Funk ended up doing an extra few minutes after that explosion just because they didn't want to rip the fans off and have it look really shitty. So they did a bunch of extra stuff after that. There's been some good ones, though. The FMW one, I believe, between Onita and Hayabusa had a really, really good-looking explosion. And I think the key to the exploding ring death match is and it sounds silly, but it's almost dust or dirt. Because AEW had a lot of fire, but no dust or smoke or dirt. And that's what they did in the FMW match between Onita and Hayabusa, is they had lots of dust and dirt, and that kind of enveloped the ring, and there was this big giant cloud, and you couldn't see what was going on in the ring, and that kind of gave the illusion of like a giant explosion, and AEW didn't really have that. So I think in the future, if you're going to do something like this, you know, less fire and more dust, more dirt. Throw a couple of bags of flour on these explosions. I know that sounds really stupid, but you know, perception is reality, and if it looks like an explosion, then it's going to look like an explosion. Now, I haven't really decided how I'm going to transition to music from the wrestling, so I'm just going to do it. My plan here is I'm just going to play a few songs during the show of things that I'm listening to and things that I like, and then go back to chatting wrestling and maybe talk a bit about music in between. The first band I'm going to play is a band called Sincere Engineer. The song is called Trust Me. And the way I heard about this band is the way I heard about quite a few newer bands, and that is through the Faction Punk channel on Sirius Satellite Radio. If you have a chance to subscribe, if you're a punk fan and you have a chance to hear that channel, granted, there's a lot of repetition. They play a lot of the same stuff over and over again. You know, you can hear Society by Pennywise 100 times a day. But every so often, they'll throw on like a new band, and it's really great for turning me on to new bands. And this is one that I heard, and I heard the song, and it really kind of grabbed me, and I really liked it. So this is Sincere Engineer. This is Trust Me on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. I hope you like it. Lightning! sincere engineer. Trust me on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. My name is Big Brad Boris. Yeah, like I said, Sirius XM, if you get a chance to check out the Faction Punk channel, really, really cool stuff mixed in with, you know, you hear, you know, I'm trying to think of like a NoFX song like 1,000 times a day, but they will mix in some newer stuff, like some brand new hot off the press stuff. That's really cool. I talked a few minutes ago about the Kawasaki Dream King of the Deathmatch tournament that IWA Japan did, and I firmly believe, and Mick Foley was known for cutting a lot of really great promos, the anti-hardcore promos he did in ECW, etc., etc. The promo that he cut after winning this tournament, I believe, is the best promo that Mick Foley cut in his career. He talks about, you know, going to Japan because Terry Funk signed with IWA, and he couldn't sleep until he beat Terry Funk. And at the end of the promo, he's talking about how he's king of the deathmatch and doesn't feel like a king. And the visual of him, like, with blood caked all over his face and just not getting that feeling that he wanted to get from beating Terry Funk. The promo is almost better than the match, and the match is really good because Terry Funk, and this is them in their prime, Funk and Foley. If you get a chance to go back and watch that match and watch that promo blew me away every time I hear it. It still makes me think that's the best one that Mick ever cut. Now, I'm sure everybody's wondering what my take is on the Backlash Zombies. I don't really watch a lot of weekly, like mainstream, for lack of a better term, wrestling. Like, I don't watch AEW every week. I don't watch any WWE every week. But I'll go back and I'll watch things if there's a bit of a buzz about them. Like, I watch the Blood and Guts, and I watch the Exploding Barbed Wire match. I watch the Cody Rhodes USA promo. I don't know what the fuck was trying to get across with that thing, but the Backlash Zombies I watched after I heard about it, and it was pretty much exactly what I expected. It's dumb. It's not in my box, as I've explained 100 times before. I don't like it. I think it's great that the company made some money off that. Apparently they got some money from Netflix for this Batista movie. 7 figures, apparently. So it's good the company made some money because they've got to make up for some lost revenue, obviously, during the pandemic. There's no live events. Merchandise sales, obviously, are down from live events as well. So making up that that revenue is cool. But I think we're burying the lead in the injury Miz suffered. When I watched Priest hit that back heel kick off that top rope and I saw how ugly it was, I was like, oh, that didn't look good. And apparently he got hurt off that. Apparently it's a torn or a strained MCL or ACL, one of the CLs. And he's going to be out for quite some time. Nothing to do with the zombies, but still, I mean, my opinion of the zombies is pretty much what, you know, what you would think that I would think of the zombies is what I think of the zombies. It's just, it's dumb. If they didn't try to play it off so serious, like, I know everyone's going to say, well, Boris, what about the Invisible Man wrestling the Invisible Stan at Joy Janela Spring Break a few years ago? That's all done very tongue-in-cheek, and we kind of get it, and we know what they're doing, and it's done not to be taken seriously, where this, you know, is basically done to be taken seriously. And I think that's the problem I have with a lot of the cinematic stuff and the Bray Wyatt stuff and him getting lit on fire and coming from the underneath of the ring, is it's meant to be taken seriously, and I just can't get into it. I can't buy it. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm no fun. Maybe I got no imagination. I don't know. I'm going to talk about the Ultimate Warrior in a couple minutes, but I'm going to play another track. This is a band, another band actually that I heard first on that Sirius Faction Punk channel. It's a band called Mannequin Pussy. They had a big album out a few years ago, and they've just released a new EP that came out this past Friday. The song we're going to hear is called Control. When I first heard this band, the song was called Drunk 2. It was like their big kind of hit single, for lack of a better term. I just liked the way the lulling guitars were in the song. And the vocalist, her name is Missy, and she's got this voice where it can go from really soft and sweet and almost kind of haunting. And then later on in the same song, it can kind of just drill into your skull, like, in the best way. And I love that kind of range and that juxtaposition of the way that she can use her voice. And the songwriting is really good. So hope you dig it. The band's called Mannequin Pussy. The song is called Control on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. I'm in control. That is what I tell me. That's Control from Mannequin Pussy right here on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris. I hope you dug that song. The whole EP is out. I believe the EP is called Perfect. Don't quote me on that again. I should probably have all this information in front of me, but, you know, whatever. Hope you dig that song. If you like it, check out the EP. You can get it on all your local streaming services. Now, I mentioned the Ultimate Warrior a little bit earlier. I was struck earlier this morning about the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD that WWE put out a few years ago, just because it always struck me odd about the way they really did a complete 180 on this guy, and they kind of buried him back then, and then all of a sudden, you know, put him on a plateau, and he became a hero and years later. So I sat down this morning, and I dug out that DVD, and I watched it. And they really did kind of bury him and leave, you know, very few positives about this guy in terms of his promos and his talent and the way he carried himself and the way he did business. And it's quite a 180 to what happened when he went into the Hall of Fame, and now them having this Warrior Award named after him. I completely forgot about him holding up Vince for money before that big SummerSlam tag match with Hogan against, what was it, Slaughter and somebody, I forget who. So what do we think about this? I mean, he hurt his legacy to me when he was doing those college tours and he made some kind of homophobic statements about queer and don't make the world go round, and this is way before, you know, the kind of cancel culture we have going on now. So, I mean, if that happened now, I don't think we would see him with an award named after him and all this kind of stuff. So, very interesting the way that they turned kind of about face on him. And I wonder if, and this is might sound a little wrong, but if he hadn't have passed away the day after, or 2 days after he went into the Hall of Fame, would he be as celebrated as he is right now? It's very interesting, but yeah, I remember, you know, hearing about him passing like 2 days after Hall of Fame, and it really was kind of a shock the way it all went down. And if you watch that promo he did on Raw the Monday after about, you know, the last breath and all that kind of stuff, just one of those crazy wrestling creepy coincidence stories, kind of like the whole the Chris Benoit Wikipedia thing. I still haven't heard an explanation about what that was all about. If anybody knows how, you know, Nancy Sullivan being dead appeared on Wikipedia like 2 or 3 days before, you know, they actually announced her passing. Somebody explain that to me, because that's kind of weird too. Just creepy shit. I also want to mention that I believe today, which is May 23rd, is the day that I'm recording this Sunday. 22 years ago, unfortunately, one of the biggest tragedies in the history of our business, the passing of Owen Hart. I still think about Owen a lot and what could have been in terms of what his career would have been after the Montreal Screwjob. He was kind of the only one that stuck around. I don't know if he stuck around because he wanted to or because he had to due to contracts or what have you. But I had a discussion with a lot of friends over the years about whether he would have become WWE champion. A lot of people say he would have. I'm not so sure if he would have become champion, but nonetheless, an absolute horrible thing that happened to Owen. So on this day, all these years later, we remember Owen for the man and the father that he was and the talent that he was and for leaving, you know, a really positive mark on the industry and apparently on everybody that that he came in contact with. I met him very, very briefly. It was kind of funny. There was an autograph signing at West Edmonton Mall, I want to say 97. And it was Owen and it was The Rock. And this was when The Rock was obviously not The Rock that he is now and the superstar that he is now. And we chatted very, very briefly about the relaunch of Stampede Wrestling on the A Channel. And just, you know, a nice guy. Took a couple minutes. You know, he had a big lineup of people he had to talk to. So we remember Owen very fondly on this day. And speaking of Owen, I want to give a big, big shout out to the original Marky. If you're a wrestling fan in Alberta, you know over the past week or so, Marky was diagnosed with COVID, ended up in a coma in the hospital. super rough go. Everybody's super concerned. I'm not afraid to admit I shed more than a few tears when I heard he was in the coma. I was very concerned. Marky and I, fairly good friends over the last few years. And it looks like he's on the up and up, and he's out of the coma and he's off the respirator and he's talking and his strength is returning. I actually exchanged a couple of brief texts with him earlier today, and it looks like everything's on the up and up for Marky. So, he kicked out at 2.5, and, you know, tough guy, tough kid, strong guy, and he looks like he's going to be okay, and we wish nothing but the best for Marky. I told him I loved him, and that is something that I think needs to be okay in this culture of men and being able to express feelings and shit like that. Tell your male friends you love them. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you less of a man. It doesn't make you a pussy or any of that stuff. I told Mark, I'm like, dude, I love you. And I'm glad you're going to be okay. And he said he loved me too. And nothing but the best for Marky. So this final song we're going to go out to, it is by a group from Winnipeg called Mobina Galore. It's two ladies from Winnipeg. And the way that I learned about this band was every new release day, used to be Tuesdays, now it's Fridays, I would go through I'm an Apple Music subscriber. I'd go through Apple Music and I would look through the new releases to see what's going on. And the cover of this album, it was called Feeling Disconnected by this band called Mobina Galore. And the cover of this album just looked like something that I'd be into. So I downloaded it just to listen to it. And it's two ladies, guitars and guitar player and a drummer. And it just blew me away with the intensity, the honest songwriting, and just how good the songs are. And they came through Edmonton a couple of times that year. And I went to see them, and I got a chance to sit down and chat with them really, really quickly and just tell them how much I enjoyed the record. And they were super, super cool, very friendly. The songs are great. This one's a little bit older. This one's called Thick and Thin. I want to dedicate it to Marky, and I'm glad you're going to be okay, my brother, and I hope that I can see you soon. This song is called Thick and Thin. The band is Mobina Galore. It's some Canadian content. And again, that's what this is. It's just me. It's going to be probably short. It's just going to be me kind of shooting the shit, talking about what's going on in wrestling and my opinion on it. And I'm going to play some music and some bands I like, talk about the music. If you have anything you want me to talk about, any questions you want to ask me or my take on anything, or if you have a band that you want me to hear that you think I'm going to be into, hit me up on Twitter at BBBoris. That's at BBBORIS. I'll be happy to answer questions or give you my take or listen to any bands you think I might be into. We're going to go out to Mobina Galore, Thick and Thin on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast. I hope you enjoyed, and we will talk to you next time.